America's. What was that Vine? It was like, Mary Chrysler.
Happy Chrysler.
Was that it?
What was her name? Christine, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh my God. Was it her that threw the dildo Donald Trump before he was president, obviously? But I think, didn't the Secret Service end up going to her house?
I hope so. I remember she had drama. Do you remember that lad? I could be making this shit up in my head. But you remember that lad that she was like best friends with?
Elijah.
That she did all her vines with. Yeah, I think they fell out. Like, or maybe it was one of the other lads or something. Like, I feel like they're not friends anymore.
I don't think they are, actually, now that you say it.
Which I thought was mad, because they were like proper besties.
Best friends, yeah. I don't know.
I genuinely don't know what you could do that like would make us like never be friends again.
I know, like, I was going to say, you'd have to like murder someone, like, but then again, not that I'd be fine if you murdered someone, but I would.
I'd probably be like, but why?
Like, I'm disappointed, but we move on.
Like, why did you do that? But also, like, what did they do that made you go do that?
Exactly.
Like, not to be victim blame, but I probably kind of would.
I mean, look, for the right people.
I mean, when it comes to you, like, you know, I wouldn't do that for everyone. But
oh,
like,
no. God,
people,
no.
Like, a bit of victim blaming.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, well, you've clearly done something. What was it?
You know, don't breathe. You know, why did you beat up the Nana, Lizzie? Be honest.
She was just an old fucking bitch. That's why.
And I'm like,
and that would be reason enough. I wouldn't even have to explain myself further.
You'd be like, man, she tried to skip me in the queue, and then be like, oh, I'm old, I didn't realise. And then I'd be like, oh, that's so fair.
Not even that, because some old people are really, really horrible. And it wouldn't be a case of, oh, I'm sorry. She'd probably call me a name and then kick me in the shins. And then it's Granny Smackdown time.
Like, some old people really are just awful for, like, no reason as well.
Did I ever tell you about the time when I was, like, in my old place of work? It was during COVID, and it was when I was blonde at the time.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Right? Hairdressers aren't open. I used to get my hair highlighted because it's, like, dark brown. So highlighted to blonde, right? This old bitch, this old geriatric bitch came up to me, and she was returning hair dye. And, you know, she looked me dead in my fucking eyes, and she said, your hair could do with a touch-up. I was like, girl, I know. My roots are down to my fucking ears. I look like a badger. It's COVID. The hairdresser are closed. What the fuck do you want me to do? I had a meltdown.
Are you unaware of the fact that we're literally in a pandemic and that all the hairdressers are closed?
Are
you simple?
Like, and they were bad. They were bad. Jesus Christ.
I'm not saying, like, I'm sure they probably were.
Well, like,
I'm sure she was right. But also, how about fuck off? I know.
Her eyeliner looked terrible on her droopy eyelids. But did I say that to her? No, I did not. Why? Because I have manners.
No, and you could have.
I could have.
Exactly.
I should have after the
you
comment
could have.
She said
I
to
mean,
me.
I mean, I'm sure it's the first thing you probably thought when you saw her. You were like, wow, her eyeliner does not suit her droopy eyes. But you didn't say it.
No, I didn't. Oh, it's the height of rudeness.
What a bitch. You should have. Next time do. No, don't. Now, because you have the moral upper high ground here in this situation.
Because
if you came around and was like, yeah, but then I turned around and was like, yeah, your eyeliner doesn't suit your droopy eyes, then you'd be kind of equally as bad.
Yeah. And then people would think less
That's kind of like an everyone's shit here situation.
People would think less of me then because they could say, oh, well, you could have got a box eye. She'd need surgery. And while that is very true, okay, I'm not about to put a box eye in my hair.
Not bleach.
No.
Jesus Christ, man. I've seen that in real life. I've seen the before, during and after situation. And I mean, it's 0 out of 10.
Now, did I do it a couple of months later? Yes, I did. And did I make a cock and ball of it? Yes, I did. Which resulted in me having to go back dark. But look, we moved.
I mean, that's exactly why you know you should ever should.
Exactly. Because I've learned my lesson now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've grown from it.
Exactly.
I've grown
also
from it.
I want to say, while we're on the subject of your hair, a phone was passed around. We were at drinks last night. I want to say last night, but I don't think it was. Let me double check. My shorter memory
no
on to absolute power.
No, it wasn't last night.
I don't have.
Me and Leah were chatting
Saturday
to
night.
Yeah,
Saturday night. So 3 days ago, a phone opened up on your Instagram, was passed around the table, and everyone was like, oh my fucking god, Lizzie looking well.
Thank you.
That's all I want to say.
Me and all of my
not by
four
me either.
Photos.
It wasn't me. This was done by, I can't remember who it was. I wasn't even thinking about you. And someone was like, oh my god, look at Lizzie. And I was like, yeah, I know.
Aww.
And then the phone was passed around to everyone else. And everyone was like, oh my god, look at Lizzie. And I was like, oh, I know.
I'll have to pause.
So it wasn't even me hyping you up. You were hyped up organically.
Love that for me.
Yeah, you should. Because it was class. Anyways.
Sort
of misery have you for me?
Well, to be honest, it was a bit touch and go today because I found a story. It took me like the odd of a half an hour to find. So, you know what I mean? Expect great things because, you know. But as I was doing notes, didn't I throw up just a YouTube playlist as I was like writing, but they were all music okay. videos that kept on coming up.
Oh no.
No. I started disassociating so bad.
Of course you did. Which ones? What happened? Where did it start?
Well, first it started with a fucking red light, so we'll just get that out of the way.
Oh, cool. Okay. Right. And that
That was the first one.
What will I tell? How do I tell people to look this up? It is...
It's so
filth.
Practically porn. Like, it was bad.
Red Lights by
I was
Youngin.
So bad. And then, what other music video came
fucking
filth.
It's a bop, though. It's a great
it's
song.
It's a bop. It's a great song.
It's softcore porn.
But a great song. What else came up? A lot of BTS, obviously. So we had, like, Black Swan. We had... Do you know what I mean? So that was gonna get me. That got me. Fire, that got me. What else got me? Dechita, obviously, that got me.
Every time. That's how I got you in the first place. Obviously, that was gonna get you.
That was obviously gonna get me. Is it Wonderland or something like that? No, the song that they did at the live performance. Yeah, that one. So that obviously, like, that ruined me. There was just a lot going on. And I started to disassociate and I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh, Deja Vu, was it?
Oh, Deja Vu came on as well. Oh, of course, that had me in a fucking whirlwind. I was in a bad way. But,
such a good song.
So I was like trying to get all that done, make a crack and stew at the same time and keep a fire on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's nothing worse. You need to put on like classical music or some shit like that you can just...
I need to do what I used to do and put on like my evil villain playlist where it was just a whole heap of like violins and stuff. But you were in a film and you're a sound... Yeah. Or this is a soundtrack for when you're like on the brink of... insanity, and it's amazing and it makes me write like quick
yeah
as
I feel
well.
Like music videos anyways are not the way to go even
no,
like
not.
The lyric videos would be grand
no because then even that I'd be staring up at them like I oh no but we make a crack at it sorted
yeah
right. And I do apologize if any of this seems a bit convoluted as I has described I've started to disassociate so these could be any which way. Okay, am I making a promise that these are good? No, I'm not. If you've come here, you should have expected less. Not professionalism, not from me.
Okay.
So we are going to be doing the murder of Katie Locke. So on December 23rd, 2015, a beloved 23-year-old school teacher called Katie Locke was getting herself all glammed up, nice and ready to go out on a first date with a man that she had met on the dating site Plenty of Fish. This man would turn out to be 26-year-old Carl Langdon, or Langdell. Actually, I was going to say apologies. I don't care about this man. Fuck him. I'm not apologising. Anyway, and he was a man that was very well known to the NHS. And not because, you know, he was one of their fucking heroes, like a doctor or a nurse. No, he was known to the NHS because he was constantly in and out of mental health facilities for violent behaviour, predominantly towards women. So,
shocker.
But shocker. And are we only scratching the surface? No, one of a kind, really, one might say. Like, when would have you ever heard of this? So the pair had been talking for approximately, say, like 2 weeks on Plenty of Fish before they decided to meet for drinks. And they met in a pub called Traffic in East London. Now, it seemed like it was going very, very well. They would talk about each other's families. Katie was telling him how she is a history teacher in a secondary school in Essex, telling him a bit about her college days. He was telling her about his, and he also told her that he was a lawyer who had just successfully started up his own law firm. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, do we think that he was telling her the truth? Do we?
I mean,
because of course the fuck he was not. Okay, man,
obviously
had a degree in like business marketing and journalism. The furthest thing away from a lawyer.
Oh, fuck's sake.
You could probably be, right?
I never understand lies about like that are so easily disproven.
Oh, I do, honestly, because if I know this was never going to go well.
Like, just say straight up, like, oh yeah, business. And people are like, 90% of people are going to be like, yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, but like, no one's really going to care, realistically.
Nobody cares.
And she seemed like she was a sound lad or sound girl, like, you know, she was up for the crack. Was very kind, very caring to everyone, like not a judgy type that would have looked down on him for having that, you know?
It's a good degree, like, I feel like, what's the big deal?
I don't know, did he just get like a kick off of lying or something like that? I don't know.
I feel like it's definitely just like a bit of a complex that he had or something.
Yeah, do you know what, probably thought he was more fucking important than he was, but anyway. But like I said, everything seemed like it was going well. And even honestly, if you look at pictures of him, obviously not his mugshot, spoiler alert, like if you just look at normal like Facebook pictures of him or ones that were posted on Instagram, he looks like a normal lad. Like, you don't see that like hollow crazy look in their eye.
What's his name?
Carl Langdell. Like, he literally looks like a normal lad. Like, you'd see him down in the pub drinking pints and you're like, ah, he's great, used to play hurling with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, very unassuming. And look, obviously the chat was going well because...
Oh my God, yeah. Just
do you
like
see?
Normal fella.
He looks like a normal fella. obviously I'd be putting pictures up on Instagram for like everybody else to see, but literally a normal ad. Like, do you remember when we did that case with Karen Buckley and Alexander Pacto, and by looking at him, he looked like a fucking sociopath, him and his beady little eyes. This lad, you don't get it at all.
No, he just looks like a normal lad. Like, he looks like he'd be a farmer or like a builder, or just like, you know, he has that kind of a look about him.
Yeah, like he works down in the local centre or something, and he's pure sound. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, he went to school with your older cousin.
Yeah, he gets invited to the odd family wedding because he's a friend of a friend, but he's dead sound. Even though he's nothing of the sort, that's what he looks like.
Jesus Christ, okay. Mm-hmm.
So Katie had agreed then to continue the night. She was having a great time. Things started to seem like they're going to go well. Obviously, she didn't want to end it there. So she agreed to go back to Langdale's hotel. But before she left, this clever girl, she sent a picture and his full name to her best friend, Rosie Foster. Just to say, okay, cool, like, this is a guy I'm with, this is what he's called, blah, 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 blah. She was letting her know that she wasn't coming home, or that she would be, like, staying with him. Which, thank God, she fucking did. Because Rosie's parents never knew that she was going out on a date. They thought that she was going out, or not Rosie, sorry. Katie's parents never knew that she was going on a date. They thought that she was with Rosie. So thank God she actually did say to her best friend, oh, by the way, here's where I'm going.
I'm going on a date.
This is what he looks like. This is his name.
There should always be one person who knows where you are. Even write it down if you don't want people to know. Write it down on something in your room.
That's going to be easily spotted.
Yeah.
Just in case. But when Katie had sent the picture and the name to Rosie, she'd written Rosie, like the little fucking detective she is, and a nosy best friend that, thank God, she was. She googled Langdale, finding his fake LinkedIn profile that showed his lawyer firm. That was not real. Like, he had a full on set up LinkedIn profile and it was totally fake.
Just to back up the lie that he was obviously telling loads of people.
Yeah, exactly. So in the taxi on the way back to the hotel, Langdale was, honestly, he was in bit. He had taken so much drugs. He had drank so much drink. He was vomiting in the back of the taxi and everything. And honestly, the way that he was...
That's so embarrassing.
So sick. But the way that he was, how he managed to do what he later did still baffles me. Because if you're in that much of a state, how are you not
going home and just passing out?
Yeah, exactly. So about 3:30 a.m, they arrived at a 4-star hotel in Theobald's Park in Hertfordshire. So basically, this was like a sister hotel of a hotel that Langdale used to work for in Russia. Like, this was like an English branch of it. So he used to work for this company and this was like a sister hotel, if you get me. And that just kind of creeped me out a little bit. I don't know if he felt like this was a safe space for him or something. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But upon arrival, hotel staff quickly noticed that Langdale was absolutely off his tits, right? He could barely stand up. Katie, obviously, she had her few drinks. She was a bit wobbly, but she was having to support him, trying to check in and then go back up the stairs. So he was practically legless, like he was off his face.
Okay.
So 30 minutes after checking in, Katie rang down to reception asking could 2 toothbrushes be dropped up to the room. A few minutes later, hotel staff called to Langdale's room, dropping off the items that they had requested, and Katie was the one that answered the door. And this would be the last time that she had been seen alive. And at the time, the hotel staff said she looked like she was in good form. Like, they didn't see Langdale at all. They kind of thought maybe he was asleep or like passed out, but they said that she was like fully clothed, didn't seem like she was in danger, she was in high spirits, and she was just very thankful and grateful for the stuff that they had dropped up, and that was it. Like, nothing seemed like it would be out of the ordinary. And now we're not sure, right, of the events that took place exactly, but in the early hours of Christmas Eve morning, Carl Langdale had strangled Katie to death. So this would have taken place between 4 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, because at 6:30 that morning, a hotel guest staying in the room beside Langdale's complained that the window leading to the fire escape had been propped up with a hotel hanger. So I think he had gone out for a fag, and obviously you're in the dead of winter, it's going to be fucking Baltic, and you just see this massive fire escape open, like it shouldn't be open, especially not at that hour. But I'm sure everybody can probably guess as to why the fire escape was propped open. So Langdale had wrapped Katie's body in towels and bed sheets before carrying her out of the fire escape. And I don't know if there was already like a laundry trolley at the very bottom of the stair, or if he had since gone and like sourced one. But when he got to the ground floor, he put her body in a laundry trolley to transport it to the opposite side of the grounds. So I don't know where in that timeline he had picked that up. Like, I don't know if he went and sought one out, or if it just so happened he got lucky and there was one there.
Yeah.
You know? But when he got to the other side of the grounds, he dumped her body by the side of a fucking skip. Literally, in plain sight, she would have been found because somebody, some poor hooer, would have eventually gone back. Like a caretaker or something, or a janitor would have gone through that skip and would have found poor Katie's body. And I'm just going to have to get you to bear with me now because this bit, it's fucking gross.
Okay.
You're going to feel a little bit sick.
Okay.
Yeah, just mentally prepare. So Langdale, well, he just didn't quit there, did he? Because he then raped her corpse, both vaginally and anally, and he used a bar of soap to, in his words, to lube up. I know, I can see your face. Yep. And do you want to know, do you want to know something as well?
Obviously. No, I actually think that's enough. I think that's great. End the fucking podcast.
Just
right
close
now.
It out. Actually, we're done. 20 minutes, quick job. Who even needs?
So, what the fuck?
So, after her autopsy, the coroner concluded that she had cuts in her cooch and everywhere, right? But they don't reckon that was done by him after, like, during the rape, it was caused by the soap. So he was, like, pushing the soap in her bits, thinking that that was going to, like, soap it up for him. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I don't want to say it because I feel a little bit sick. Yeah, because somehow he thought...
Why would that be the solution? Why not use, like, hand soap in a pump? I always end up looking at the technology, but why a bar of soap? Who the fuck has a bar of soap?
Because he robbed it from the hotel. But this is the thing. You're not wrong, because obviously...
They always have, like, hand cream and shit there.
The soap, you would have had to get, like...
Why not just lather it up first?
Yeah, he thought that her bits were going to do that. I don't know. Does your man not know how a bar of soap works? So he just thought, like, just a quick...
So, no, I'm sorry now. This is gross, right?
No,
so
it is.
He put the bar of soap.
Yeah.
And, like, put it in and out and in and out. That was...
Yeah.
Lube up.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a fucking simpleton, I guess. You fucking idiot. What are you talking about?
See, that's what I thought straight away. No, I thought so that straight away. Like, you're actually... Like, one, it's disgustingly vile. He's a fucking monster.
I feel like that goes without, like, goes without saying. But we're like, this is...
Fucking moron.
But why not just, like, I'm sorry, okay. So he tried to make a lather. Like, why not wet your hands and make a lather in your hands and then put it on your thing, and that's how you do it. You, like, nobody gets lube and puts it in the vag, like.
No.
You put it on the dick. Am I stupid?
No, you're not.
Have I been doing this wrong the whole time? Are you fucking stupid?
But what gets me as well is he did all of this after he dumped her body. Like, he didn't go back in, and it wasn't like a thought he had when he was trying to clean up. Like, he bought that bar of soap out with him while he brought down the body.
No. Oh, no, he put it into his pocket, like, oh, this will be handy.
Yeah. Like, this sick little fucking pig that he is.
What the fuck?
I know.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, had you know, like, anything else?
No.
Like, I feel like anything else is better. Like, anything else. I feel like literal.
This is going to...
Saliva.
I was literally going to say a spit would have been better. A fucking bar of soap.
And
it's
hotel soap.
It's hotel soap. So I guarantee it's that horrible fucking rectangular shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, not that that's going to make it any better.
That's acidic as fuck as well. Like, it burns the shit out of your hands.
Oh, I don't know what... It's a fucking lunatic.
We always end up, like, giving out about how they do things, but I swear to God, it's so annoying. Like, none of these things would be half as bad. Like, obviously, it's really fucking bad. Like, but it wouldn't be as bad if things were done kind of semi-well.
But this man is actually a tick bastard. Like,
you're a simpleton.
He's so stupid. It's not even funny.
Like, you've made this whole situation that bit more awful.
Yeah, why did you... Why?
You're a tick cunt.
Like, it's...
Okay, bar of soap. Right. I'm going to put that into one of the... Compartmentalised bar of soap.
Yeah, and that's just... I actually don't think I can look at one ever again. I'll say it now. Dove, you're foreign to me. Who are you? Don't know you.
No, Dove is like a nice shape. I'm thinking it's one of those fucking... Christ, I don't even want to think about it. You know... Oh, anyways, go
no,
on.
I know the exact word you're talking about. Anyway, so Langdale then returned to the hotel and requested that his checkout time be changed from 9 o'clock till 2 o'clock. And before he left the hotel, he hung up the do not disturb sign on the door and then went. Which I'm like, what was the point of that? You got late checkout. Obviously nobody was going to be going into your room until the cleaners were due to go in. Because who was the next fucking people to go in? Obviously the cleaners, you take bastard. Like, did you do it as a little ha ha ha? I don't understand the point.
Like, it was going to be the cleaners.
Like,
that's it, like.
Yeah.
You weren't going surprising random people. Like, it was going to be the cleaners that were preparing the room for the next people.
You absolute simpleton. I just don't understand.
What a tick bastard. Like,
he definitely thought this was funny. I'm like, what? Explain it to me.
What are you achieving here?
You embarrassing fool.
What did you achieve?
Your eyes are too close together as well, by the way. It's embarrassing.
Soapy penis. Probably a clean, dirty. Ugh.
Makes me fucking sick. When the hotel staff went back to Langdale's old room, they noticed that all the bed sheets, all the towels were missing. The window latch was broken. And I'm thinking, did he try get her out of that window first before having to opt out for the fire escape? Because why else would you try break a window open, you know?
Yeah, unless he did it by accident. But no, that's probably... No, yeah, he probably was, we'll do it this way. And then he was like, no, that doesn't make sense, because he's a thick bastard who didn't, like, plan things in advance.
Yeah. Like, it could be a case where the fire exit went by the window, so he could have thought it was quicker and probably easier than go pry an open one out that's in the hallway where anybody could see him. But I'm assuming the actual fire exit window is bigger than your ordinary bedroom window. And anyway, don't those hotels have like the anti-suicide windows as well?
Yeah.
And they're really, really small.
Yeah. A lot of them do anyways, the ones that don't open the full way.
Yeah. So I'd say it was just too awkward. But they also found a mobile phone that was ringing non-stop. That stupid bastard had failed to pick up Katie's phone, whose father was ringing her non-stop. He left her phone right in the middle of the room. And also, as well, he also paid for the car, or for the room, with his debit card.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, yeah, you're getting away with all this. Oh, yeah, and it's not like you left a massive fucking paper trail. Not even paper trail, a physical trail. You might as well have written your fucking name on the walls, your air code and everything. Oh, my God.
Honestly, when I said simpleton, I meant simpleton. This man was a stupid bastard of the highest degree.
Right, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Right.
I'd get it if he got carried away and he just killed her. But this aftermath shit of, like, doing things to her dead body.
Yeah.
You are, you know, like, you know that girl, I can't remember her surname, Grace something. And that guy she went on the Tinder date with and he killed her.
Oh, yeah, he put her in the suitcase, yeah.
Yeah, right? He at least, not at least, but you know what I mean. He just killed her and that kind of, like, that was it.
Yeah.
And he was able to pretend, like, he didn't get away with it, thank God, but he was able to kind of, like, pretend that, oh, I just got carried away and I killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy is so thick that by doing things to her dead body, you now don't have the, any sort of defense to say,
it was an accident.
I just got carried away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
But even at that, as I go on later on and delve into, like, because there's not much about his past, there's really not, but the tiny bit that you can find out about his past, the man, this was practically premeditated.
And
it was known that this was premeditated.
Like, that lawyer thing, that's a premeditated lie. That's a lie that he has set up with, like, fake fucking receipts and shit, like, with his, like, his
LinkedIn profile.
LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Like, that's premeditation in my head as well, because that's a lie that you're telling to get people.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Because I'm, like... She probably was impressed by the fact that he was a lawyer. That was probably something that she found attractive about him.
Oh, of course.
So that's, you know, I don't know.
No, you're not wrong. So it's well into the next day of the 24th. So it's at Christmas Eve. And it's just say about 10 to 12 in the morning, right? And Katie's mum, Jennifer, she's worried sick because still no word from Katie. She hadn't heard anything from Rosie either. So she gets in contact with Rosie, just basically saying, oh, you know, how was your night out? Haven't heard from Katie, is everything okay? So then Rosie had to tell her, oh no, it wasn't me she went out with. She went out with this lad. She went on a date. She said it was going well, but she did give me his contact details, or she gave me details about him. I'm going to see if I can get his contact details.
Yeah.
So Rosie was now on a mission to find this man's number.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, right? There was a number on Langdon's fake LinkedIn page. And won't you know, that absolute geriatric had his real mobile number on the LinkedIn page. So he did.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Fucking sack.
Of course he fucking did. Thank you for making our job that much easier, you fucking fool.
Absolute fool. So Rosie had texted him saying, hey, this is Rosie. I'm Katie's friend. We're a bit worried about her. We haven't heard anything from her. Is she with you? And Langdale said, I'm not with her. And gave like 3 exclamation marks. She got in a taxi ages ago. I tried ringing her, but her phone's dead. I'm like, okay, one, the 3 exclamation marks, that's a bit fucking cheeky. Wind your neck in. She was only asking you a fucking question. 2, you dope prick. Does he not think that people have been actively trying to call her? So by him saying her phone is dead, they know that's bollocks, because her dad has been calling her non-stop, but her phone is ringing. She's just not answering.
Yeah.
You stupid
prick.
Just say
she's lost it, you dumb fucking food.
Yeah, she lost it in traffic last night. You know what I mean? Just, it's, I don't know. Anyway, so Rosie's like, okay, nah, something's not right here. So she gives Katie's dad, Bill, Langdale's information. And now, I don't know how this man found this out, like how Owl Bill found this out. I haven't got a clue. But somehow he managed to find Langdell's mother's home, where Langdell was actually living. So he was living with his mother, and Bill somehow managed to find the house. Don't know how. Don't know if the man has connections, but he found it. So he did. So he basically had knocked on the door, explained who he was, that his daughter was out on a date with her son last night. He hasn't heard anything from her, so, you know, they're just a bit worried. So Mrs. Langdell's like, oh my God, like, yeah, come on in. Invites him in, sits him down. And she says that she's going to call him right then and there. So she does. And that fool answers immediately. And she just tells him, a girl called Katie, her dad is here. He's just at the house. He's just wondering how she is. Like, is she still with you? Because they haven't heard anything. And like an absolute genit, this man doesn't even try deny it, right? He says, I'm a monster. I was going to tell you later because I didn't want to ruin Christmas. And then told his mom how he murdered this poor... You don't want to ruin your mother's Christmas. What about the poor one that you just killed? Sorry now. Take 10 steps back, pet.
Get a fucking grip.
I didn't... He said it so whiny reality. Down the phone, like, I just didn't want to ruin Christmas. Like, you're not the fucking Grinch, pal. You're a psychotic murderer.
You just didn't want to, like, ruin Christmas. Christmas is a ruined bitch.
It will never be celebrated in this house again.
You ruined Christmas when you killed someone.
Jesus is
Christ. Why did you wait till January? You could have done this in November.
November shit anyway. Even what the fuck's in November? Nobody would have cared.
Literally, fuck all. Literally, it's getting ready for Christmas month.
Like, on Christmas Eve, your ma had to find out that you murdered some young one.
You silly bastard. And, oh, but he didn't want to ruin Christmas, did he?
Oh, no, he didn't. So I think he thinks he has some sort of saving grace because, God bless, he wanted her to have a nice, peaceful Christmas and he would have told her in the new year. You never know, he might have even told her on Boxing Day or St. Stephen's Day.
Oh, for God's sake.
You never know, fool.
Just, hey, ma'am, you know, the New Year's countdown.
Oh.
FYI.
Yeah, when it reaches one, I'm going to tell you something really, really, really fucking sick. It's like, BG
Just
dubs.
Wait till you hear it. You won't believe it.
And it involves a bar of soap. Fucking you'll never idiot. Guess what it is. Honestly, not fucking true.
Jesus Christ. Imagine raising that being your son. I've imagined. Like, because that's like, what do you do? Like,
oh, they do you know, full on disowned him after this.
Like, I mean, obviously. But Jesus Christ, like, do you know, like, that's so hard.
Yeah.
Like, you've lost your son. Your son died, like, then in my head. Like,
oh, yeah. No, they're gone. They're not a part of my life anymore. Yeah. They would be. But imagine then her having to, like, get off that phone call, look this man in the eye as he's sitting down on her couch and telling him, my son has murdered your daughter. Like, how the fuck do you even have that conversation? How do you even say that?
I'd say she freaked the fuck out so bad that he knew that she didn't even have to say it.
Yeah, because then after he had basically just said, oh yeah, I don't want to ruin Christmas. Well, that's exactly what he said. He then told his mom that he had killed Katie accidentally when a sex game went wrong. So.
Okay. We'll pretend that's true, right? We'll pretend that's true. Why did you then have sex with her dead body?
Yeah.
With a bar of soap.
And why did you dump her body then beside a skip? Would you not immediately call for assistance if you thought something had gone wrong?
Listen. To be fair, I would say some people would panic and be like, this is going to be pinned on me. I need to try and cover this up. But that's like the act, like sleeping, like having sex with a dead body isn't the actions of an innocent person.
No.
Who, you know, accidentally kills someone.
Never necrophilia. That's sick. Like, that's not. No. That's,
necrophilia is never the answer.
No. Say no to necrophilia, kids. Jesus Christ.
Please.
So immediately then, Bill contacted the police and he told them where the body apparently had been dumped. I'm sure it was only a matter of time then before they found her. And within, I'd say, a couple of few hours, Langdell was arrested. They drug tested him and sure, he riddled with cocaine and diazepam. Man was hopping off his tits, so he was. And for like, diazepam is kind of, it was marketed as Valium.
Oh, okay.
So it was. But because he was on a rake of antipsychotic medication as well.
Of course, yeah.
So he had a fun owl cocktail running around in his bloodstream.
An absolute 10 out of 10. Man was on uppers, downers and all sorts of in-betweens. Yeah.
And you know what? Regardless if he was stone cold sober or not, this man was going to do this anyway.
Yeah, no, it no difference.
No, it made no difference. Probably gave him the courage, or not the courage, but the gall to do it. You know? Like, he was always going to do it, but Joe, you know, instead of like Dutch courage, like, I don't know, fucking coat courage or something, you know, he was just like, okay, well, I can fucking do this now.
Yeah, it definitely does give you like that buzz.
And so Langdell's trial began in the Avalon Crown Court in that June of the same year. And this is when his history with the police services and the NHS psychiatric units was brought to light. Also, forgot to mention, he had the absolute gall to say in a court of law that because she was wearing a black dress, that meant that she was really into BDSM. And her friend Rosie was like, you're a barefaced liar. I've known this girl my entire life. We talk about everything together. She was very conservative. There was no way that she's going into fucking whips and chains excite me type things. Like, that was not her at all. So he was trying to use it as like the whole, like, him strangling her thing. It was consensual.
But also, like, I don't know much about that kind of stuff, but like, a lot of that is very much trust based. Like, I feel like even if you weren't that kind of a thing, it's,
you're not doing it with a guy
in a responsible way with a random guy you don't know, because you can't trust him.
No, that you met 2 weeks ago. She wouldn't.
You know, like, most people who would be into that kind of thing, I feel like there is that level of, you need to be fucking smart about it.
Oh, of course.
And
yeah,
letting someone you don't know tie you the fuck up or whatever else is a bad idea.
Yeah, but
so,
like,
that's bullshit.
She definitely didn't. It was just for him to say, oh yeah, like, it got carried away, but it was,
no,
it was
literally
all consensual.
Like, that's exactly what it was. Yeah,
like a fucking idiot. In the 9 months before Katie's murder, Langdale had dealings with the Avon and Somerset police, Hertfordshire police, mental health services in both Somerset and Hertfordshire, because in February of 2015, Langdale was living in Bristol with his then girlfriend and her family. And within a month, Avon and Somerset Constabulary received a phone call from intensive support team to say that Langdale had made a threatening phone call to a community psychiatric nurse where he said he wanted to cut the throat of his girlfriend's little sister, take off her clothes, see her naked, and have sex with her dead body.
Oh, God. Okay.
See, when earlier on, I was like, this shit was definitely all like premeditated, and he still made it a fucking cock and ball of it. Can we just say this was premeditated? Clearly, you got caught within the space of 4 fucking hours.
That is probably the worst fucking, I've never in my life heard something so bad.
So bad.
It's worse than being caught in the act.
So bad.
It's worse.
You big embarrassing fucking fool. But when Langdale learned that the threat had been reported to the police, he rang that same intensive support team to make a threat that he was going to slit the throat of the nurse that had snitched on him. You fucking idiot. Because then that same day, he then rang the police outside of his girlfriend's house to say that he was going to murder somebody. And sure, that's all they needed. Like, the police needed to fucking detain him under the Mental Health Act. Because now you're clearly a threat.
Why did he do that? Like, what did that achieve?
He's an idiot, that's why. He's an angry idiot. That's exactly what's wrong with him. Like, a big fucking embarrassing fool. But when he was taken to the psychiatric unit, obviously because they were saying, well, he's clearly a threat to himself and others at this point. But the doctor deemed him a sexual predator. He was not allowed near female patients. He had to be kept separately. Female members of staff refused to be over his care. So he wasn't even allowed to have female nurses. So I don't know what he did in there for that to happen.
But he was probably a gross fucking dirty bastard.
Yeah. And nurses, I think, honestly, there's some, like, obviously the strongest people out there, like, both, like, physically and mentally. For them to not give out, like, a duty of care to a patient, something fucking awful has happened. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, nurses do be, like, kicked at, spat at, hit, cursed at, shit thrown at them, everything, and they still persevere and salute. But these women were like, no, we're not fucking doing it. As they shouldn't.
No. So something, God knows what he was doing.
God knows. But I unfortunately don't have exactly what that was. But he'd even told the doctors in this psychiatric unit that ever since he was 16 he had fantasized about killing people, and that he would get like sexual gratification from it, and that as years went on this urge only became stronger and stronger. So yet again, this is kicking him in the bollocks when it comes to, oh, it was only an accident. You have told a professional that you've been dreaming about murdering someone for the last, like, what, fucking 10 years? This is, anything you do at this point, it's not going to be accidental.
No.
You're taking your own legs off, pal, because, like, you haven't got one to stand on.
Exactly. You've actually, there's no way to fucking defend yourself now.
No, not at all. But this same doctor also wrote a letter to the police stating that he was concerned Langdale's threat to kill women was very real, that he was a threat to women, and that he had the full capacity to understand what he was saying and had no mental illnesses. So this doctor was under the conclusion that he was just a full-on psychopath. Like, that there were no other, like, internal issues with him. Like, he didn't have any other mental health issues.
That was it?
Yeah. He reckons he was just a fully-fledged fucking psychopath. And the nurses that were around his care before they started to refuse also said the same thing. That they did not think that he had any other issues, but that he was a psychopath. That he had psychopathic tendencies. They could tell he didn't just give a shit, that he just wanted to fucking do it.
It's so fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's such a weird thought. I just don't get it.
No.
I know you're not supposed to, but, like, it's just so fucking weird.
And I'd love to know, like, why they thought that as well. Like, it didn't go into specifics. So if there was, like, certain behaviours that he was doing or exhibiting, or if there was incidences that would have caused them to think that. But for a collective health board over a hospital to come to a conclusion about somebody, I'm like, okay, maybe they're right. Just saying. And people fighting for him to be declared mentally unfit. I don't know. So at Bristol's Crown Court on April 15, 2015, he pleaded guilty to the threat to kill his girlfriend's little sister. Obviously, nothing can be done with that. It's just, I think he had to go to court with it because he made such a big hullabaloo with ringing the helpline then contacting the police. He ended up in a psychiatric unit after it. So there had to be some outcome for it. So he did go to court, but it ended up being a suspended sentence where he wasn't allowed to misbehave for 2 years, had to wear an ASBO and had to go back to Hertfordshire to live with his parents. Do you know, like, you can't do jail time for making a threat because he didn't technically do anything.
Yeah, it was just, he just said it like, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I think they're more so like the police knew that nothing was going to come of it because it's the same way they can't do anything about someone in like they're being stalked until something's actually physically done. Do you know that kind of sense?
Yeah, like you can't give out someone over a threat like or whatever. You can't.
No, you can't.
Over a threat.
But when he was released, there was little to no communication with the Hertfordshire police to let them know, one, that a violent psychopath was being released into their community, but two, to the extent to which the health professionals were worried that he would harm a woman, because they were fully convinced that he would, and it was just basically like a ticking time bomb. But if there was proper line of communication and somebody had been keeping an eye on him, there's a slight possibility Katie might even have died. You just don't know.
No,
you don't know. But even when he went to Hertfordshire, he got sent to a psychiatric unit again because I don't know. I think he just had like an off day, but he started like threatening people in the street. He then rang up a hospital, started threatening a nurse that he was going to murder her. So that's why he got sent to a psychiatric unit. So he was showing violent tendencies there again, threatening to kill people again. And then while fucking, I think that only lasted for like a month and he was released and there was no follow up done on it at all. Only that, like, that he had not like a probation officer but kind of like a social worker basically just keeping an eye and seeing how he was, but that social worker didn't know yet again to the extent of his violent tendencies towards women. He just knew that he had like some sort of an opinion on women, but he didn't know that given an opportunity he'd probably fucking murder one.
Yeah.
But anyway, in August 2015, Carol Langdale was found guilty of murder and sentenced to 26 years imprisonment. And while in prison, he became somewhat of a poet. Right? One might say like an Edgar Allan Poe.
Wow.
And I am going to read you one of his fine masterpieces titled...
Oh, fucking Christ. Okay.
Exhaustion.
Oh, fuck off. Okay.
My psyche's a mess. My thoughts are scrambled. I long for far less. My mental health unhandled. My memory shot to pieces. I forget how to win, lacking a thesis. I am a victim of sin. The poem is called Exhaustion. I'm exhausted of you, you dim cunt. That was awful.
A really shit poem.
That was shit.
I'm sorry. I haven't read poetry since Leaves Her, because not that I don't really like poetry, but I wouldn't be one to be like, do you know what I would need to read right now? It was a poem.
Yeah, ew. Who the fuck wants to read
that's
a poem?
Fucking terrible.
That was a terrible poem.
That's a bad poem.
Like,
a terrible poem. Like, a really, that's actually a really, really bad poem. Like, you're actually a bad poet. And it's pure fucking, like, I'm a martyr, like.
Oh, yeah.
You're my mental health. What a fuck. I don't give a fucking shite about
nobody cares. Like, literally, not one person cares about you. But he, like, while he was in prison, he tried to, like, act a big in saying that, oh, he's so, 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 so sorry. He can't believe what he has done, he says. No apology I give, no sentence I receive, not even my death could make up for what I have mindlessly taken. Well, fucking obviously. You're only saying that now because you want people to feel sorry for you. Like, you didn't care that you killed her.
You're only saying that to pretend that you actually feel bad so it gets you a bit of fucking good karma.
Yeah.
Not even good karma, that, like, you know, they'll put in a good word for you with the prison.
And guess what? That's actually not happening. A fucking fool is what he is. But in February this year, Carl Langdale was found dead in his cell. And it was not due to Rona. The guards heard a strange noise coming from himself, or from his cell. Well, from his cell, himself, I suppose, because he slit his own throat in his prison cell and he died. And that was the end.
But you know, I'm actually not surprised that it was that anticlimactic, because it actually is so on brand for him.
Oh yeah, he was going out in a blaze of glory. Do you know, like a sim, like, not, this is going to sound dreadful, like a simple hanging wasn't going to do it for him. He had to have the drama and the fucking flair of slitting his own throat, which I feel like it's a very...
And also, that's a very aggressive way to do it. It's also kind of embarrassing.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Like, you just bled everywhere.
Somebody has to clean this up now.
And that's an awful way to... That's an awful way to do it.
Oh, awful. Like, that's going to take a couple of minutes. What the fuck is
wrong with you to do that to yourself? Like, why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know if it was a thing that... Do you remember when he wanted to do that to your one's little sister or something? I don't know.
Yeah, he wants... I don't know. What a fucking weirdo.
Fucking loser is what he is. Absolute fucking loser. Yeah, he's dead now. I was going to say thank God, but in a way I'm like, did he deserve to rot in a prison cell? Yes, but would he have actually cared? I think he would have gladly cocooned in that prison cell if he didn't, you know, sayonara, suicided out. I don't think it would have bothered him in the slightest. So maybe it is good that he's dead. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know what to think.
It was a lot that happened in such a short space of time. So it was like a very short space of time. And there was also so much, but so little, as in, like, a lot has happened, but there's little to no information on, like, his background. So it's like, you know the way sometimes you try piece together, okay, maybe why this happened, why he was like this, and so on. But for here, it's just, no, this is the shit he did. Here's some horrendous shit he did 9 months ago, and that was it. Like, he had no reason for killing her, only that he wanted to.
That's literally, there was nothing there. Just, why not?
No. Oh, and also, I think he had been talking to a girl on Tinder at the same time. So I guarantee you, after he had killed Katie, it was probably going to be your one next. Fully convinced.
Yeah, that he was like sussing it out, and like the next person.
Yeah, but like, he was never going to get away with it anyway, because he's so, so fucking awful. And I mean it in a sense that, yes, he's an awful person, but I mean, he's a dumb bastard. Like, he did not know how to hide his tracks at all. If anything, he put like a little fucking red flag just to be like, I'm here. Like, how, one, do you not even try to hide the body? Two, pay with your debit card. Three, leave the girl's mobile phone in the room and then crumble at the first person that asks you, have you seen her? Not like, even if you've done anything, have you seen her?
Like, immediately.
Like, he folded like a lawn chair.
He did not even try.
No.
And stop. Himself. No.
And I do think it's because he didn't care. Like, he was that much of a psychopath, yeah. He did not care.
I feel like sometimes they, like, not want to be caught, but it's kind of like, I think it's part of the game.
Yeah. Like, he had no fear for the consequence of it, because he really didn't try to cover it up, realistically. Like, he might as well have just left her body in the hotel room.
Literally. And that probably would have been better.
And passed the cleaners as he was leaving and they were going into the room. Might as well have done that.
He could literally put a do not disturb sign on the thing and paid for an extra day.
Yeah, and then fucked off somewhere.
And that would have given him a day's head start.
Yeah, he could have got a ferry.
Run to the fucking airport and get the first plane to fucking Malaga or somewhere.
Yeah.
And be done with it, like.
He could have, not even a day. He could have paid for, like, literally a next couple of days. A week. Like you said, then get a flight to somewhere random. And then, what? You have, like, a 5-day head start to fucking hide somewhere.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, again, not to be giving people ideas, but just saying.
I mean, I feel like this is obvious, though. I feel like, is this not obvious?
It is. And I don't know if it's just the people that we end up covering are just, like, really, really fucking dim. Or nobody else thinks like that. Which I'm like, how? How do you not? Like, I found him very aggravating. Because I'm like, not that you can nearly see it when there's a purpose, because you can't, because it's awful. Obviously, it's always awful.
Obviously.
But when you just want to kill people for the crack, it's like, what?
It makes it extra pointless. Like, you're not even... Like, you're not even getting anything out of it.
No.
Which, I mean, like, not, you know, like, it does, it makes it that little bit more wasteful or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're right. And this was, oh my God, this is our Christmas episode. I should have bought jingle bells. Why the fuck did I not get jingle bells? I should have worn my Santa hat. It's literally sitting right behind me.
Jingle bells. Yeah, I didn't realise it was going to be our Christmas episode.
Yeah, like, it's because we were meant to do it earlier. But then, obviously, I had come home from Dubai. You've been... working flat off your fucking feet. We were meant to do one earlier, just hasn't happened. And so we were like, oh fuck it, may do one today. So I just picked one that was centered around Christmas time. Not that there was any fucking joy in this at all. Only that your man slit his own throat. I suppose that's a bit of a blessing. But anyway.
I mean, yes, silver linings.
We'll take it for what we can get. But yeah, this is our Christmas episode. And obviously Savannah's not here if you haven't been listening for the last... hour and something. Because it was so last minute, literally we decided this morning, and then obviously it's Christmas now in a couple of days, and we're not going to be recording then, so we're like, shit, we may do something. And poor Sal is busy working her little titties off. But I think, now I could be wrong, we could be having one out for the new year if all goes well. And I think we're recording on St. Stephen's Day. One, obviously, if we're not all busy and not all dying of fucking death. But I have a 70cl of Jemison down there and I plan on getting absolutely wrecked. So...
I'm so jealous. I'd fair love a bit of Jemison.
Do you want some when you come down in a couple of days? I'll crack it open, especially for you.
I would, but then I have to go home drunk on the fucking train.
Okay, well, maybe we won't get... You can have at least four, and then you're just, like, you're tipsy. Like, not even tipsy. You're giddy. If I pour singles and not doubles. Well, that is it for this week's festive but fucking miserable Christmas episode. And we just want to wish everybody who listens to us a happy Christmas if you do celebrate it. Otherwise, happy holidays. And we hope you have a very nice day and look... Happy New Year to you as well, and we will be back in the new year. I know we did promise before that we would be more consistent, but look, Christmas happens, things go fucking muddled, and then hopefully, once we get our shit somewhat together in the new year, we'll be more consistent yet again. So, as Savannah says, positive vibes, negative tests, and what does she say? Oh my god, I was going
to be a hypocrite.
That's it! How have you been doing this for over a year?
She says it every fucking day.
I know. Oh my god, I fucked
positive vibes, a negative test, and always be a hypocrite.
I fucked it now.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And giant ankles.